Guys, what's up? I'm a little late. Apologies. I'm also a day late. We're a day off, but I'm also late today, unfortunately. But I'm here. We're gonna talk about last night's episode of The Other Way, and we're gonna talk about some I Love a Mama's Boy because I Love a Mama's Boy premiered, and we're on season two of it actually, or episode two of it, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good so far. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, get some of your ideas and thoughts on I Love a Mama's Boy. Let's get Other Way, Joanne and Sean revealed to the kids about their little pipe dream of being married. Hey,
Hello.
howdy, how are
Good.
you?
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. There's supposed to be a big storm rolling through here,
I
so and
read that
yeah,
somewhere.
so fingers
100%.
crossed, no storm. I don't do good with no internet and no electricity. Oh, and no water, and the storms do all of that stuff. So I'm not nervous, but I'm just hoping that,
Apprehensive.
because I'm like, no internet, no electricity is really scary. It was like 97 degrees today, so it's scary, thinking that no electricity.
That can also be a good thing, like
How?
no internet. So
I mean, yeah, I could probably do things that I've been putting off for ages because I can't put my phone down, but hopefully it misses us. So I want to talk about The Other Way. There's a lot to talk about, right? Because there's Brian and his withholding information, right? Like, we haven't really gotten into that. Wait, is Brian The Other Way? Or wait,
no.
that's before the 90 days. No, that's before the 90 days. No, I want to talk about Sean and Joanne because they revealed to the kids about their little pipe dream of being married, and the kids were apprehensive and kind of angry and kind of disgusted and kind of like betrayed. And Bella said something really interesting last night. She was like, "I wish you had a better brain," because she was like, "I just wish that you acted like an adult." And I was like, "Wow, why are the kids on the show so much smarter than their parents?" You
They
remember,
are.
remember Daniel from Tiffany and Ronald? Daniel was like the smartest kid ever. Like, he could figure out everything that was going on before his parents did. And I think Bella's right. Whatever was going through their mind, they're not teenagers. These are
No.
parents with children. Hell, Joanne has a 18-year-old. Like, she's being a mom is not new to her. So the idea that she thought she could tell them, like, "Oh, well, I'm married for 2 years, and now you should pack up your shit and move to Ireland with me. I don't care if you have girlfriends or you have friends or you have hobbies or you like the US, you should just do this to make me happy." And I think it's kind of selfish, right? Like, it's kind of selfish. And I know mothers are allowed to be happy in avenues outside of motherhood, right? Mothers are allowed to be in love, they're allowed to be married, they're allowed to have careers. But you also have to still think about your kids, right? Like, am I wrong? Like, I feel like I'm not mad at her for finding love and finding something that she appreciates and wants, but your kids are always got to be a priority, a step above that, right? Like, you still have to take their feelings into consideration.
Exactly. I don't even have kids, and I like they should always be your number one priority, and you shouldn't put what spur of the moment feelings you have for someone on that. So that's like they'll always come first, like regardless. So you're basically like any partner should understand that, and everyone else becomes irrelevant after that. So
Yeah, 2 years. And I don't think anybody is upset that she's married, out of all the kids, right? I don't think anyone's upset that she's married, and the grandma and Noelle, her friend. I think everyone is just upset that she felt like she couldn't share it with them, right? And I feel like that's the real issue. It's like, keeping secrets is worse than like lying and betrayal, especially to the people that thought that they could trust you. Because especially your kids, of all the people in the world, you're the one person, mom and dad are the two people in the world that they can trust. Those are the first two people that they learn to trust, right? So if your mom does something like this, it's almost like a stab in the back and then twisting it a little bit, because that's the first person that you ever had trust in and faith in. And then to see them that they're human and that they would lie to you to your face, it makes you look at them differently, right?
Yeah, she just keeps on putting like salt in the wounds with her kids, right? And same with Sean. He keeps putting salt to the wound, like, and it's more so her, like, because she's not even giving them an ultimatum. Like, okay, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do this, and it's just like disgusting. Like, I don't know. Like, I had nieces and nephews and little cousins and stuff like that, and I couldn't even. Like, I will always put them before my own needs. So whatever they want, like, is what they need to proceed with like what the kids want. It's not like.
Well, even whatever she wants is irrelevant because those kids have a dad
Exactly.
who's present. He's not a deadbeat. He's there. He sees them. He makes sure that he's in their life. So her wanting to move to Ireland is kind of irrelevant because I don't know many dads. I mean, there's some crappy dads out there who wouldn't care. I don't know many dads who would say, "Oh yeah, you can take my kid to another country." I don't know any. Remember, what was their names? They were one was from the UK. And one was from here, and she had two kids, and he couldn't get his visa because of something that happened at a bar, a fight or something. I can't remember their names.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember it either. Okay.
Rachel and John Waters, maybe. Yeah, so it was irrelevant in that situation too, because Rachel wanted to be with John. They got married, they were building this life together, but her baby daddy was like, "There's no chance in hell you're taking my baby to another country where I can't be present." Because parents are allowed and they have the right to be in their kids' lives. And at this point, what Joanne thinks she can do is so irrelevant. No judge is gonna say, "Oh yeah, she's in love. I'm gonna rip these kids away from their father who wants to be in their life so she can chase after this pipe dream of being with this guy that she barely knows." Like, and then she also said, "You know, I have to rag on our resident psychics." She was like, "I never thought in a million years, or I didn't foresee that this was gonna hurt my kids." And I was like, "Weren't you a psychic?
Yeah.
Like you can foresee things before they happen. That's literally the whole purpose of your gift. People pay her, because remember, this is her job, her full-time job. People pay her to read cards and tell them what's gonna happen before it happens, but she didn't perceive that what she was doing by omitting information and lying to her kids was gonna hurt them." And I was like, "See, I don't know if I'll pay you for your services if you didn't even see that this was gonna, you don't even need to be a psychic to know that lying to people is not gonna give you a good outcome. You don't even need to be psychic, you just have to have common sense, right?"
Yeah, that's what I said last week. There is no way in hell the dad, the father of her children, is gonna like he has rights. He pays child support, and he's not a deadbeat. That he's not gonna let those kids go. He'd be like, no, like, and we've already seen it with Shekinah and Sarper, how she was going back and forth from Turkey to LA or whatnot every few.
Supposedly, supposedly, because
Allegedly,
allegedly, because
allegedly.
that girl was in boarding school, and you know, boarding school, you can't just show up at boarding school. That's not like an open campus, you know. So allegedly, that's what was going on. I think we came to the conclusion that it's probably better that Shekinah stays away from that girl, so she gets the best education and best example, right? Because
Exactly. But there's no
Shekinah's
way
not giving
anyone
me that,
can.
and you know, it's fine. But I want the kids in the situation to come out unscathed, right? Like, no matter what the parents are doing and they're making horrible or crazy decisions, the kids are the only people that are going to suffer because we're all adults. Everybody can live with their bad decisions, but kids can't because kids can't make those decisions. They're not even old enough to make them. So the parents are the ones that need to protect them.
They're already emotionally scarred by it, so it's not like they're gonna need like help in the future. They're already emotionally scarred by it, basically. Like how like they're just seeing another viewpoint from the mom and the dad, like and Sean or whatnot. They're just seeing another like how can you do this? Like how and why can you do this?
Yeah, why would you put your feelings over mine? Especially, I mean, I get that Joey is 18, right? 18's not grown, but I still feel worse for Bella and the younger kid because they're children, you know, and they can't really comprehend. Joey can comprehend a little more, right? Joey might have had a girlfriend before, he might have thought he was in love before. He might understand it a little bit more than the little babies. The babies don't get it. Right. And even Bella said she was just like, "If you have one more secret, I'm not gonna forgive you. And I was like, see, that's exactly how I feel. Ever give everybody one chance. You got one chance to do something horrible to me, and then other than that, I'm done with you. And I feel like for Bella, when she gave him that ultimatum, I was like, that means that this isn't the first time that he's done something like this. Because that, right, that type of reaction is from experience. And this girl is six, okay? So, like, imagine in the 6 years of her life, he's already done something crazy like this before.
I told you what, like I told you from the jump, like this is hit, like this is what he does. So maybe he doesn't include her on all of them, but this is what his job, his 9 to 5 job is.
I'm beginning to believe that you're accurately telling that story. I am. Because when she, the way that she reacted, I was like, she's too young to chastise her dad for bad decisions unless she's been through this before, right? Like, and I was like, for her to be so young and to speak so intelligently with experience, I was like, this man does stuff like this all the time.
Oh,
And this
wait, she's six, right?
6 or 8,
Okay.
somewhere in that avenue.
Or when he w got his, like, when he went to the States or whatnot on his ESTA, right? Then she must have been
Right.
three or four, right? So was she there? Like, what did he tell her?
I'm assuming she was with her grandmother because
I'm
that's who they
assuming that
live
too.
with. But I'm pretty sure that that left a pretty big hole. You know, when you're really young and they're divorced, because he said early on that her mom is not involved. So you have one parent and you have a grandmother, and then that one parent, you already feel a little bit of abandonment, right? We learned that from Statler. When you have a parent that's not involved, or you're up for adoption, or you're in foster care, there's already some trauma. So the fact that Sean thought that he could pack up and go to the US and overstay on top of it, because he had a really good reason to go back, his daughter, and he still overstayed. So
Exactly. So I think I that little girl's really smart.
very
So
smart, and she's tired of his shit, right? I
exactly.
could see it
So
when he went in there to talk to her, she was just like, I am tired of your shit, right? I'm just like, wow, for her to be so young to having to deal with this type of drama and how she handled him. She was just like, look, you got one more time to do something stupid. And she's like, I'm not gonna forgive you. And I was like, wow, the real intelligence and experience within her voice. It's like it just shows she's been through some stuff. And
yeah,
it's at
this
the
is not
hands of
her
her
first
dad,
rodeo. This is
right?
not her first rodeo.
Not first
So
or second.
this is
Okay, so
our
I wanna.
little storyline that I came up with in my head, the little rabbit hole might be true. So with the billboards and all that. So, but continue. Let's move on to somebody else now.
I want to talk about. We're going to go to Indonesia real quick and talk about James and Tata because they were back. We got some bad news. And I know I have a cat. I know Kara has like a ton of animals. What do you have? A dog, right?
I don't have a dog. I have my friend's dogs, and
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Your
so
friend's
I
dog.
love my friend's dogs. I can't have dogs. I don't have enough time in the day to give so
Oh.
much love to a puppy, right? Because
Yeah.
they're a lot of work.
I
And if I was
understand.
working from home, I wouldn't be working. So
I know, right?
no.
I get it.
So
So
I can't have a dog. One day, maybe one day, but yeah.
you'll get your puppy. I know you
I
will. I know you
know.
will. So, well, James and Tata cannot have their puppy. We learned on this episode that there's a rabies outbreak and they banned the immigration of dogs, which I thought was crazy, right? Which I've never heard anything like that, but again, I've never tried to take a dog overseas. So I didn't realize that there was an immigration. I just thought you could buy your animal a ticket and put them underneath in the little crate and
Of
everything was
course.
good. That is not the case. You cannot, that's for domestic, that's not for international. And one thing that really made me wonder, because you know, they seem to be in a big rush to get to Indonesia, and Tata made it seem like it was her thyroid issue, right? She's like, oh, there's no good thyroid doctors in the US, which is BS,
Yeah.
right? BS. There's good doctors all over the world. Hey, Shay, there's good doctors all over the world. And I'm so sick of people saying, like, oh, there's no good doctors in Africa. There's no good doctors in. There are good, intelligent, very well skilled doctors in every country. We do not have, we're not a world where there are countries where you can't get decent medical. Like, so I'm kind of
Exactly.
sick of people telling that story. It's just not true. I don't care where you come from, third world or not, there are good, skilled doctors.
What did I say from the beginning? I'm like, Kara had said her issues look like a like a thyroid issue,
She
right?
did. And she's not
And
even a doctor, right? She did.
she said it was a thyroid issue. I said she's just making that up so she can go back to Indonesia, right? Because she doesn't want to stay in the United States anymore.
That was the
That's
real reason.
the reason why she whined and complained, whined and complained, and
Well,
finally got her way like a
she
child.
got her way, but now look, she cannot have her dog, which is her baby, right? Because James made it pretty clear he's not giving her a baby. He doesn't want one. And the only child that she had, Jojo, their dog, now that she was in such a big rush to leave, now they're in a bad situation where they can't bring the dog. Not only can they not bring the dog to Indonesia, they don't even have the money to go visit. So they in turn abandoned their animal, right? Because they had a lack of planning. And the lack of planning is, I think, what really got me in this episode. They have no money, no jobs, no prospects of a job, no idea what they're gonna do. And then Natalia's like, oh, we should have a baby. And I'm like, well, first of all, your situation doesn't call for a baby. It calls for a damn plan. Like, y'all need to get something together. You can't just live with your parents, with your husband, and your baby for the rest of your life. Like, y'all have to figure out a way. And James has come to the realization that banana chips is not a career,
No.
right? Because we watched, it was like a 20-minute, 20 to 40-minute situation where they made the banana chip and they were going to sell it for a dollar.
Yeah, no,
A
but
dollar. So imagine you could be making banana chips for 8, 9, 10 hours a day and only make $50 or $60. Can you imagine? Right? That's crazy. And that's
if that.
assuming that you can travel and find people interested in buying, because not only do you have to make them, you have to sell them yourself. You don't go and make them and then sell them to a supplier. That's not how it works. You have to find your own suppliers, find your own customers on top of it. So he's come to the conclusion this is not going to be a real income source. And he's right. There's no chance that the amount of work that they showed us and how to make one banana chip, which it's not what I thought it was, by
No,
the way.
I thought it was the dried banana
Me
in
too.
the
So
like.
I'm gonna remember I say I think I said we were gonna try to find them and eat them. Next, I'm gonna try to find them, and then if we can, we're gonna eat them on a podcast just so we can get like an
I
idea of what.
will. We have a lot of Asian stores here, so I'll try to see if I can find
Okay,
some.
cool. I'm gonna try to find it too, and then when we both have them, we'll eat them on the podcast so we can give everybody an idea of what these banana chips
But
are.
if I search banana chips at these Asian stores, chances are the regular banana chips we're both familiar with are gonna come up. So
Really?
I don't
Seriously?
know. I'll look it up after the podcast. I'll look it up.
Yeah, we gotta find them though, because I think Shekinah ate some on one of her reels, and she said it has a cheesy taste. So I'm kind of interested. Like, honestly, I'm kind of interested. I like spicy food. I grew up in Louisiana. I was always eating spicy stuff. So, and now and when I left Louisiana, I noticed how bland food can be. And I know Filipino food is very spicy and flavorful.
It's more
So,
flavorful than spicy. They don't really like a lot of spice, but I know.
really, because Natalia was giving James some spicy
She's
something.
from Indonesia, not the Philippines.
Oh, Indonesia. You're right. You're right. Indonesia. I keep getting them confused.
I
Indonesia,
know
Philippines.
Malaysia and Thai, they all like their spice, they all like their chili.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right. Indonesia has the spicy food, Thai food as well. I'm a spicy guy. I like the spice.
I
I mean, I don't want to like burn myself, but you can add some spice to my food and I'll be okay. Right? But it's because I grew up in Louisiana. Everything's spicy, even the bread. Literally, because I remember asking, I was like, why does everything have to be spicy? Bread shouldn't be spicy. Like, cornbread should be sweet. It was spicy. And I'm like, damn, I just want to eat something that doesn't make me sick.
And now
Okay,
you're
but.
regretting that. Now you're like, oh, nothing has flavor
Well,
here.
now, yeah, everything is so
Ugh.
bland now. And all the states I go to, the food gets worse and worse. And I'm like, this doesn't even taste like anything. Okay, so we're learning that. They can't bring Jojo, which is their dog, over. And actually, James wanted to know if he was having to go back to the US to work, right? Would Natalia come with him? And she doesn't think she would. So, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think this is going to be the end of their relationship? Because being one of them being in Indonesia, one of them being in the US, how is that going to work?
I have no idea, and yet she wants to have a baby. How is she gonna have a baby if he's not gonna want that? He doesn't want kids, period. But then at the end of the day, they're both children. They should not be having kids.
No,
They both
especially
act like children.
two unemployed children at that, right? Like,
Exactly. And
they both.
I remember what her sister sister said, I don't want you moving into mom and dad's house. She
Yeah,
had
her
said
sister has
that
that. Yeah.
because she knows the way she is. She's a brat child. I'm sorry, but she's
Yeah.
just a brat.
She's that one. Every family has one. And I think you're right. Natalia's that one who, you know what? Libby was the one in her family. Remember
Exactly.
Libby and her
Yep.
sisters? It's just the one where they don't really want to work, they don't really want to do too much, and then they stay really close to mom and dad, so they're always getting taken care of. And mom and dad seem to always be handing them things, right? And I think Libby was the one, because we were all like, why is Libby the only one not doesn't feel like she has to do anything? And Natalia is that kid. Like her sisters or her family, they all are independent. Her sister has her own family, her own husband, her own life. And then Natalia, she just squats on whatever life is willing to take her in. And she doesn't really have any hopes and dreams, you know, other than being a mom. No, and which is a great dream, you know, bringing a child into the world, raising that child, that's a good dream. But that's like a dream that has other aspects, you know, like a husband who has a job, a place to live, you know, money to take care of that child. Because it's like that child is gonna get here and they're also gonna need things, you know? And it's like if no one can provide for that child, it's not a good idea to bring a child into that situation. And for unfortunately, she's like, that's the only thing that's gonna make her feel complete is to be a mom. Which, you know, there are some women who feel that way. You know, for some women, they're like, unless I'm a mom, I'm not really like a woman. You know, some women, if they don't have the ability to have kids, it affects the way that they feel as a woman, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how it pans out, but I honestly think he's gonna go back to the States because he's not gonna make money, and then he has a visa too. Like, that's the thing, right? So,
Well,
and a
yeah.
lot of these visas, they were not gonna hire somebody else to do the job that someone else can do there,
Yeah.
right? With a lot of these visas. And that's the thing, right? If you go somewhere and they're not going to hire somebody from their own, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Like
Yeah.
from their own nationality, they're going to give somebody else that job instead. Like, that is that, like, Indonesian descent versus a white Caucasian male descent, right?
Yeah.
So, or whatnot.
And it's true. It's like we don't want to believe it, but it's true. When you go
Yeah.
to another country, you know, I call it the home court advantage. You know, when you're the nationality of that country, you speak the native tongue of that country, you've got the home court advantage, right?
Yeah.
When they see a non native coming in, you know, they're apprehensive and they're like, oh, well, they might not know what we need, and they pick, like you said, people that look and speak like them over people who don't. And it's true. And it happens in the US too. We have some parts of the country where, you know, it has a strong Asian community or a strong Hispanic community. You know, they look out for each other. They take care of their own. So it might be harder for someone who doesn't speak or look that way to get a job in that area. It's unfortunate, but it's real, you know, and you have to take that into
I
consideration.
know in different degrees too, like, you have to have like their educational background. Like in Europe, for instance, I can work in Europe. I have a European citizenship, but I can't, like, I can probably apply for a job there, but the chances are I wasn't educated there. So I would have to retake courses, and the same thing goes vice versa. If like there's a nurse, like my cousin's a nurse, she wanted to come here, or look at what's his face, the girl who married that Muslim guy, he had to take all his dentistry courses all over again.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did. He was a dentist. You're right. And then he had to start over. So let's get into Corona. Corona's in Iceland, and she doesn't speak Icelandic. Apparently, she's been trying to learn Icelandic for a year. And she said it's actually one of the toughest languages she's ever tried to learn, which does not surprise me, right? I've never met a person who could speak Icelandic. So it's definitely not a common second language, meaning it's not easy, right? Common second languages, Spanish, French, Mandarin, there are some that people can tend to pick up very quickly. And then there are some that people struggle with. Icelandic is gonna be one that you struggle with. So she went to an Ivy League school, right? Harvard, I believe. Was it Harvard, she said, or Princeton? Maybe it was Princeton. And she's unable to take classes in English in Iceland, which she was surprised. So, okay, I thought it was a little shocking because everyone that we've encountered with Corona and Iceland speaks English well. So I was under the impression that obviously they have their native tongue, Icelandic, but they, oh, Penn State. Thank you, Shay. She went to Penn. But apparently English is a second language taught in all of their schools to all of the children. Just like in Finland, they teach obviously Finnish, which is their native tongue, and they also speak English. Actually, I think actually in Finland, in order to graduate from high school, you have to speak two additional languages. Like it just depends on what country you're in. But their native tongue for medical jobs and all of the classes in medical jobs are taken in Icelandic, which she was surprised. Were you surprised? Because I just assumed that when you're taking a class, like if I was to go to Spain or Italy, I would expect that they wouldn't cater to me and teach me in a certain language when it's not their language. I just assumed you would know that.
That you're not in North America where everything is in English, oral and written exams are all in English. You're in another country, you're in their territory. So in Europe, like same thing with the Netherlands, right? Like Amsterdam, everyone speaks English. Everybody, all the signs are in English, but they speak Dutch there. But it was so easy to get by in Amsterdam. So, but at the end of the day, everything is your like everything in Europe is basically your education is basically in that native tongue. Then you go to like English classes, French classes, etc., etc. Right? So they have language classes.
I think what surprised me a little was everyone there spoke English so well. So I think Corona was under the impression like, well, these people are super fluent, so they would have. Because, you know, in America, you can request to take a class in a different language. Yeah. You are able to do that because we have that accommodation, because we have so many different nationalities in one place. There are schools where you can actually request your coursework and your book in another language. It's possible.
I think the thing is why a lot of Europeans know how to speak English so well. It's not only because of the classes. It's because everything has subtitles. Like everything has English subtitles, right? And they just pick it up.
So right? It's like every day, it's an everything, it's something that they deal with on a daily basis.
Exactly, because it's gonna be more expensive to pay actors to dub those voiceovers. Right? Versus putting the letters underneath, right?
Yeah.
And translating it. So.
Well, also Corona, she dressed like a dominatrix to her meeting with the Black Icelandic transplants, which, can we talk about why can't Corona dress normal? She was wearing extremely high heels, walking in snow and ice. Does she not know how to dress appropriate? When you're going to meet four strangers or three strangers that you met online through a support group, you know, I would suggest wearing something less dominatrix. You know, your first impression is everything. And we haven't seen Corona wear something appropriate for the occasion yet. So I'm going to go ahead and say that maybe she doesn't do appropriate for the occasion.
Appropriate. I think at first they showed her closet, like when she was packing and stuff like that, and what she was going to take. I think she likes to be like, even though she might be, she's not that street smart, she might be book smart. But she also wants to show that, like, oh, like that outer exterior, like that different, like dominant side, like and add attention to her, right? Because then, like, out of everybody, you get singled out, right? If you look like everybody else, and this is just a way to bring in some attention towards her.
Ah, I see what you're saying. I mean, but she's already singled out, right? She's a Black girl in Iceland. Yeah. You know, like you're already gonna stand out, right? Like you walk in the room and because they're not used to seeing a whole lot of Black folks, right? In Iceland. So she could literally show up in a nun outfit. They won't think it's weird that she's a nun. They'll be like, oh, it's a Black nun, you know, because that's just not what they're used to. And I think she also is making it more than it is, because I think that Inky said it. He was like, no one really cares or is bothered by her being African American.
No.
You know, he was like, no one is really gonna dislike her simply because she's African American. And I think coming from America, you know, we think that everyone has a hatred or a racist bone towards African Americans. We have to remember, they didn't have the type of history that we had. right? There's no history of slavery over there. There's no history of discrimination and segregation the way that we did. So I think she's going in there with some predetermined things that she believes are true about Iceland, which may only be true about our country, right? Because our country, we do have some pretty disturbing roots when it comes to segregating people and feeling a certain way about people who don't look all the same. But I think that she is making it seem like Iceland is going to be less accepting of her because she's black. And I don't really think that's true. I really don't.
I don't think so either. I think she's, like you said, she's putting more into it than what is actually the truth, like Inky said as well, right? Like, is he's just like, no one cares. Stop making a big deal out of it, basically.
Yeah, I think that she should probably go back home though, because she's, like you said, she's very intelligent. Like, she's not street smart, she's book smart. She's very intelligent. And if her dream is to be a midwife, please, please, please don't put that dream on hold for some man who didn't even ask you to marry him. Right? He's not, it doesn't even seem like that's on his agenda.
Nope.
Doesn't He's not talking about it. He's not saying I'm planning it. No, he's please, like if you have a dream and you're so close. Literally, she can see the dream, like she can reach it, and she's putting it on hold for just some guy, not her husband, not her fiance, not her baby daddy, just some dude. I want her to be way smarter than that. Like, know your worth. You're worth so much more than being some dude's girlfriend
Like
when it comes to
I said, book smart, not street smart.
not at all. Right? Like, she, every time she opens her mouth, it kind of baffles me that she's an Ivy League educated woman,
Know.
right?
I
And
know.
I don't like to judge anything or anyone, but when she speaks and acts, I'm just like, wow, so you can ace a test, but these are the decisions that you make in your life. I'm just like, it's so imbalanced, right? Like, it's almost crazy how she can be so intelligent and so naive and stupid at the same time. It's almost like you didn't think it was possible.
Exactly.
Wait, she thinks she's a unicorn and wants people to acknowledge her, and no one cares but her. Okay, I see that. Like, I do see that she's really asking for people to notice her eccentric look and style and dress. And for some people, it's important that they get that acknowledgement, but I think she overdoes it. Like, I
Exactly.
haven't seen her dress appropriately for anything. Even when she met Inky's parents, she was dressed crazy,
But she was
right? I was like,
crazy at her parent at her mom's house, and
yeah,
like
in front of her grandmother. And it's just like, there's a time and place, right? There's a time and place to dress and act a certain way. And I think that she really overdoes it. And I think it takes away from how intelligent she is, if that makes sense,
yeah.
because it makes her look ditzy and not intelligent. And I think the way that she dresses, it paints a different portrayal of who she is. Because if she is as smart and intelligent and as accomplished as many things as she has, it takes away from that. When I see her dressed like a dominatrix in the snow with high heels on ice, it takes away from how smart and capable she is.
Exactly.
Okay, so, oh wait, I think Josh and Lily were on. Well, nothing really happened though. It was Josh and Lily, and he took her dancing. She requested sex, but he did not give that. He took her dancing, which she really did enjoy though, right? So, a few points to Josh for doing something that she appreciated. I did a poll on X Twitter yesterday, and I said, hey ladies, if you want your man to show you attention, would you be happy if he took you dancing? The majority of the women said yes. So he wins, right? The majority of the women said, yep. They were like, dancing, it takes a little more effort than sex. So they were like, it shows that he cares. It shows that he wants to spend time with me. So a lot of women were like, I agree. This was better. And I was like, but she just wanted to be intimate.
Yeah.
He could have fixed that at
He could
home.
have done
But all of the,
both.
well, yeah, that's true too. He could have did both, right? You can feel, make her feel loved and wanted at the same time, right? So, but all the women were like, no, don't get it twisted. We love it when men take that initiative and take us dancing, movies, restaurants, concerts, do something more than intimacy, because
Putting a
it
little bit
takes,
more thought into
yes. So he wins, because I was like, oh, that's lame. She just asked for sex. Now you're taking her dance. But I was wrong. The women were like, nope, don't get it twisted. This is still good. We're still happy with that. So Josh he's doing good. I'm just happy that they're able to communicate. But I want to get into A Love of Mama's Boy while we have a little bit of time, because we're on episode two and we didn't get to do last week. All this stuff was going on last week. But Matt and Kelly are back. They have been since season one. They're the only returning mom and son from season one. Everyone else is gone. We lost Shakib and Layla. We've lost all of the original cast, but this cast is really good. So Josh, I'm sorry, Matt and Kelly are back. Matt is single again. I've lost count on how many different girls he's had.
Four.
Yeah, Devin, four.
Four.
Holy crap. So
Yeah,
every.
'cause I just started watching it. So since we were going to be on, so I was like listening to it at the gym. And then I ha wanted to, because I wasn't watching it, I was just listening to it. So I had to like read a re like a recap of it, like who's who, mom and dad, like mom and their sons and stuff. And then so I read, I'm like, holy Toledo's four? Like he's been through four.
And
And I'm like,
I think the reason why is his mom, honestly. Kelly has really given these women a lot, right? And as you can see, next week she's gonna show up at speed dating and meet the girls before he even gets to know them. So Kelly is definitely, she's interesting, right?
on
But
another level.
I know, right? And it's crazy because I was a mama's boy and my mom was kind of like that too. Like when I was dating girls, she's like, oh, I don't like her. I'm like her. She didn't take it to that extent though. But also, I want to get into Shahid, Dia, and Nyla. They're like my favorite so far this season. So they, his mom and him are like best friends. And he said that they're so close that they love each other to the point that no one's good enough for either of them, but they can't date each other. So they just have to
That's
deal
the
with.
one that brushes her son's teeth,
She
right? Am I gonna say
brushes his teeth. He lives in the basement of their home. And well, both of her sons lives in the basement, but she gave her other son, I think the younger one, a little tiny room with no windows, and then Shahid got the entire basement area, right? And you know, I feel like his mom does do some healthy stuff. I think that Dia said that she takes money out of his bank account every time he gets paid and puts it in a savings account that he
That's
doesn't have
good.
access to. That is an excellent thing to do for your child
Yes.
because he doesn't have any bills right now and he wants to buy a house and she's helping him achieve that goal. So that was super healthy. I
Yes.
was like, I like the healthy stuff that parents do. My mom did that for me. I remember when I wanted to buy my first car, I didn't have no credit. She co-signed for me and then after that I could buy anything I wanted. You know, she set me up for success.
Exactly.
So I was like, that's a good thing. But he's dating Nyla, who she kind of dresses like Corona, I guess. She's like a, not, I mean, not like dominatrix, but she shows a lot of skin all the time.
I would say Fashion Nova is probably her go-to
Fashion
shopping.
Nova. I thought she looked good, but for
No.
Thanksgiving dinner, like when your grandma's gonna be there, you know, you don't need to see like someone's boobs and belly and underwear line. And, you know, there's a time and place, right? And Dia is positive that one of Nyla's jobs is a stripper. She can't prove it, but she said that she works as a bottle service girl at a club. And you know, that's a very slippery slope, right? Because I've had this conversation with lots of different people and they're like, oh yeah, bottle service girl, it's very, very close to stripper. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's true, but they were like, no, it's what they dress, how they dress and what they do. And they deliver the bottles to the VIP. And it's like, it's this whole thing. And I was like, well, I don't
Yeah.
want to say anyone is stripping, but Dia's like, yeah, she's probably stripping somewhere, you know? And I'm like, I think that her son would probably be in a healthy relationship and would have moved out if it wasn't for his mom. And I feel like it's the same with Matt, right? Like, and I feel like the moms are holding their sons hostage, you know,
Exactly.
because why else would he be living in her basement when he has a job, he makes his own money, he has the opportunity to branch out. But again, her other son is living at home too. Oh, so I want to talk about this one thing with Nyla and his sister. Nyla and Shahid's sister, she followed Nyla on Instagram and Nyla didn't follow back. So I want to get your opinion on that. If your brother or sister is dating someone and you followed them on Instagram, are they required to follow you back?
No, it doesn't make a big deal because I don't like my sister-in-law. So.
Really? So it's so you probably don't follow her anyway.
No, I don't even have my brothers on social media. Why would I keep my
Are you
sister-in-law?
serious?
I am dead
That's
serious.
crazy. You don't have
But
your
here's the reason why. It's because both of my siblings have a huge age gap. Like you have a huge age gap with your sister, right? So it's 10 and 12 years. Like for me, I'm 40, 41. There's like a 10 and 12 year age gap. So
Oh.
they don't need to see all my past regrets on Facebook, or they don't need to see that. They really don't. So I've decided I would want to put that past me, so they can't see that.
Well, my
So
siblings follow me on Instagram, but I don't follow them back.
same.
But I'm really petty, though.
Don't
I'm really petty. They do follow me on Instagram, but I don't follow them back.
see.
I.
And I keep getting Snapchat notifications that my brother's on Snapchat. I'm like,
Oh my God.
no,
No.
we're not.
But I get those too. And no, I don't need that. I mean, I don't
No.
mind that they watch me, but like, I don't watch them. I don't even have them on Facebook. Like, I
I
don't
don't.
care.
I don't know. They don't need to
They watch
see
me,
past
though.
mistakes. They don't need to see that.
They watch me, though, all the time. But it's fine. I think it's cool that they're fans and they watch me and stuff. But like, I'm not like, I don't need to know. And then when we go like to family events and stuff, I just pretend like I didn't notice, like kind of like how Nyla did. Like I didn't notice, I didn't follow them, you know. And then I'll change the subject and go in the other room, you know, because it's just like I'm petty though. Like y'all know me, you know that I'm a petty person, and I am not. Wait, Donna said, can we do that? We can. We don't have to follow our subject. No, we can do that,
No, we
Donna. We
can do
can do
that.
that. If it affects your peace, we're allowed to do that, and I don't let anybody affect my peace. Like my siblings are messy and they start stuff and they're just like spies. So like yeah, they follow me. Like I used to go and try to find their accounts and block them. They'll just keep making new ones. So I just let them watch. I just let them watch, you know?
Let the haters make you famous.
Okay, so I want to talk about Josh and his wife Danielle and Tina. She actually lived in Tampa, Florida. He lied and said he was going to vacation in Florida. And they met, he got her pregnant on a couple of trips down there, and now she moved to, oh my gosh, Massachusetts, of all places. And they have a couple cute kids, and they live with his mom, Tina, and he has a twin brother, and now the twin brother and his wife and their kids all live, they're all living in the same house. It sounds
Insane.
crazy.
It
It's
sounds
insane.
insane.
You couldn't pay me
Insane.
$60 million to live in a house with my siblings or my mom. I love my mom. She's an amazing human being. She gave me life, but I learned pretty early in life that we butt heads. As adults, we butt heads. As a kid, I was a mama's boy and she could do no wrong. But as when I got older, I realized that I couldn't do anything. She didn't want me to do anything except go to church. And I was like, well, I kind of want to do other stuff. So he's obsessed with his mom, and he did something on this episode I want to get your opinion on. It was her 60th birthday party. Oh, backstory, his mom had a heart attack. A couple years back, and it was touch and go,
Yeah,
and
I read
she
that.
pulled through, which was amazing, thank God. And but now he's even closer with her, and he always picks his mom over his wife Janelle. Now it's her 60th birthday party. It's a surprise party. He purchased her a Louis Vuitton bag, and we all know how much those cost. I have a luggage, and it cost me a kidney, right? Like it's a lot of money for these bags. And his wife said, I hope. I better get one for my birthday. And his reply was, well, you won't. They're really
Expensive.
expensive. So, how do you feel about the fact that he basically said that his wife is not worth the Louis Vuitton bag, but his mother is? How do you feel about that?
Actual fact that he actually said that while I was at the gym, I wanted to throw my phone across the whole, like, the gym balcony and across the gym floor, because how can you do that? Like, if you're gonna, like, buy your mom a nice purse, but maybe not a Louis Vuitton, maybe not a Gucci or a Prada or Hermes,
Well,
get her a Michael Kors, and then buy your wife the Louis Vuitton, because then you're putting your wife on a pedestal.
at bare minimum, if you buy your mom one, you have to buy your wife one too, because there can't be a hierarchy between your mom and your wife. It needs to
No.
be 100% equal. And I know
No.
moms will disagree with me, But if this woman has bared your children, there should be a respect level, and mom can't be above her or below. It should
If
be
that was my
equal.
husband, I would seriously get violent, and I would pull an Angela and I would throw something at him, like for that comment.
Well,
Like, they are expensive, you're not getting one. But you know
also,
what? I'm getting your mom's. Don't care.
Tina goes through Janelle's closet and wears her stuff and her shoes.
Nope.
And no one will stand up to Tina because the boys are, they love her, right? And her actually Joshua's twin brother, his wife actually left him for a short amount of time because of issues with the mom. And then they obviously got back together, but she said it got to the point where she broke up with him
Yeah.
and was like, you're gonna have to pick me or your mom. And then, obviously he went back to his wife. Do you think Janelle needs to take that type of measure to get through to her husband?
I don't think it's gonna work if she does it. He'll be like, okay.
Well,
Like,
they bought a house in Florida that's empty, that she wants to move into. Because I was like, I think she should pack some of her stuff and go move into that house and say, if you want me, come and live with me. That's what I think she should do.
yeah, but he's probably doesn't have the balls enough to like be like, oh crap, right? Like
Well,
he doesn't listen to anyone but his mom,
you're
so
right. And let's be realistic. His mom is super young. She's only 60 years old. So this is nowhere near over, right?
yeah.
Like she was 59 at the time of taping and 60 now. Like she's very young. So this is not a situation that's gonna resolve itself.
No.
She's gonna be around for a really long time, right? And she's healthy. They go out every Friday night. She goes to the casino. She is living her best life. And it's just wild to me because if you're taking your mom out on date nights every week, what are you doing for your wife? Like what do you
Date
I
nights
feel like you
on
have to
Saturdays.
I don't know. It's a lot for me. I want to see how this turns out though, because I don't know anyone who buys a house and then just doesn't do anything with it. Because they bought a house in Florida because the plan was to go back to Florida, which is where she's from, and then they just didn't move in it. Because he's like, "Well, I can't leave my mom," and she's like, "Well, you sure as hell can't take her with you." So now they're kind of like in hiatus, right? Because
Exactly.
she's not going to allow her to come to their new home, and he's not going to leave her in Massachusetts. So it's like, so what's gonna happen with this house? Is it just gonna sit there?
Airbnb
I mean, that is good money, by the way. Airbnb,
it.
especially in Tampa.
There's your Louis
Yeah, there's your Louis. You
Vuitton.
Airbnb it out for 2 weekends, you got you a Louis. So that could be okay. I want to talk about Austin and Charlene. So Austin and Charlene are the newer people, the new mom and son, and Austin is gay, and his mom said that he is the daughter she never had, right? They're super close. They shop together, they work out together, they do everything together. And the mom doesn't think anyone is good enough for her son, which there's a guy named Chris who Austin lives with, that she literally at a restaurant threw things at him.
He kind of reminds me, not like physically, like his looks kind of reminds me of Valentine.
Okay. I see that because
Like just the
Valentine,
looks,
yeah.
not like the personality, not
No,
the
I see exactly
mentality,
what you're
just
saying.
the face looks, right? So
Yeah, and Valentine was massive. Like, he had this huge chest. So, yeah, I see that. I actually, when I first saw him, he reminded me of Twitch. Do you remember? He was a really famous dancer. He passed away. He was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. But he came
oh,
from So You Think You Can Dance. And I was
yes.
like, oh my gosh, he reminded me of Twitch. And it made me remember how tragic it was when we lost him. But it brought me to that. But I was like, man, can you imagine your mom and your boyfriend physically throwing things at each other at a restaurant? And then he had to break up with his boyfriend because his mom didn't, after you throw something at someone's mom. I mean, if someone threw something at my mom, I'm probably not going to talk to them, right? But you know that Charlene, she made she what's the word?
She
She
initiated it
provoked him. Yeah, she provoked him.
because he basically said, like, oh, like, why are you so curious or something like that? And then she went crazy. Like, because he said at dinner, he got a phone call and she was asking all these questions, like, who is it? Like, and then he's just like, why are you so curious? Type of thing, like that. And then she kind of went
Well,
AWOL.
yeah, she's poking her nose in their relationship, right?
Yeah.
And if they were having issues, your issues are personal. And you know, if they if there's insecurity or infidelity, that's not for your mom to discuss with your boyfriend, it's for you to discuss, you know. So I get it, but she threw an olive branch out because his Chris's grandmother passed away, and now he doesn't have any living relatives, and he did Thanksgiving alone. And I thought it was really nice of her that she extended her home in Michigan to him as part of the family. Now, she doesn't like him, but I thought that it shows that she's not a monster. She does have a
She
heart,
does
right?
have
She ha There's a heart
feelings.
in there.
There's something in there,
There's
right?
something in there because, you know, a monster will be like, oh, well, you know, but she was like, no, you're always welcome. You're just not good enough for my son, but you're always welcome in my home. So, you know, it showed me that there's a little bit of human in there. A lot of the other moms so far, I don't know. Like, I don't know how
I think
human.
she likes him, but just doesn't like him for her son.
Well, what do mothers want for their children? Because one thing that I learned, my mom never thought anyone was good enough for me or my sister or my brother or anybody. And it's like, what do parents want for their, like, what is the standard? Because no one ever meets the standard. It's almost like a superhuman entity that they're looking for their children to find. And it's like,
I'm not even a parent, but probably the mom, like your mom, like every mother wants, and I know some of your viewers are moms, they want the prep of the prime of the prime, the 100% Wagyu beef, the best of the best for their children.
well,
Because experience wise, they probably not the, got the best of the best. And that's why, like in life, you make your like you want to make your children's lives better. Better than the life that you had, right? So, and that's why they want to find the like the partner for your the rest of your life, basically, right? Because of what they had endured or the pain and suffering that they had endured or whatnot. That's why. A father could care less. Like you'd be
I
like, yeah,
mean,
do you? I don't care. A
of fa
mom,
you're
because
right.
it comes from you. Like it comes from, like a mother gives birth to you, she will have an emotional attachment. I see it with my brothers. For me, I'm just like the black sheep. Then like I'm just like, eh. Right, but my brothers, oh my God, like I can't. That's why I don't know what this show is gonna be like.
I think happiness should be the only requirement, right? If the person makes them happy, you know, at least give them a chance. I'm not saying that parents should welcome everyone in with open arms because there are bad people out there, you know, and parents have, especially moms, have good intuition of people. Like I've had my mom say, I don't like this person. And then down the line, I found out the person was a horrible human being. So you do have to be mindful of what people say and the intuition, you know, your mom can tell. But also, I think like Matt explained it better. He was like, he's 33 years old, he's single, he can't seem to keep a girlfriend, and he knows his mom is the problem. Like he's come to the realization. He's like, there's nothing wrong with me specifically. I think it's because my mom scares everybody away. And he came to that realization. And you know, we saw that she was on the speed dating date, taking pictures and interacting and inserting herself in the dating. And I think as long as he's living in a house behind her house and she has access to his life the way that she does, he's never really gonna find love, right?
They
Because,
all aren't, or it's gonna crumble
well, yeah,
real
because
quick.
Shadid is also living with his mom. And it's like, I think Austin's not living with his mom, right? Austin's in LA and Shirlene is in Michigan. That's the healthiest relationship so far because as long as you're under the same roof and she still has that influence over you, you're never gonna be able to make a decision on your own. Because we saw that with Josh. He won't say anything bad. He won't disagree with his mom no matter what because she's under the same roof and she could do no wrong. And I think once you cross that boundary of living together past the age where you should be living together, that's where it gets to make life and relationships and decisions hard because you're trying to please two women. And I think, you know, I've heard the saying many times, you can't please two women. You have to pick the woman that you love the most and you can please her and make her happy. But you can't make two separate women happy because women always want different things from you,
Yeah,
right?
this is not Sister Wives. Like, no,
Well, right. And look how that worked out for Cody, right? We got a bunch of women who hate Cody. So you cannot please more than one woman. And it's true. And it's like, if you're trying to make your mom happy and your wife happy, at the end of the day, somebody's not going to be happy. Because
Exactly.
they all want different things from you and you're only one person, right? So I think it's crazy though that these women, they stick around as long as they do. It's kind of crazy.
I know. I'd be like, see red flag? Oh, I'm running. I ain't putting up with your mama because I got an attitude and I got a lip on me. So we're not gonna do that.
No. I had to stop introducing my mom to people, to girls and stuff, because it's too much drama, right? And then when we moved cross country from each other, it just made things so much easier. Like, I can love her from afar, I can call her, I can FaceTime, we can visit, and then when it's time to go, she goes back to her beautiful home, I go back to my beautiful home, and everyone is happy,
And
right?
it's less drama, less fights, less everything, and everyone's
I don't
comfortable.
even know the last time me and my mom had a fight,
There you go.
because
And if
we're
you were under the same roof, you probably would have fought
all
today.
the time, right? But now that when we do see each other, it's rare because we live so far away and it's just holidays and stuff. No one's fighting. We're so happy, right? So it's like,
It's
and I think
Hallmark.
that's
It's Hallmark.
the best relationship. It's distance, you know, from the people, the person you love the most. The more distance you add, the more healthy the relationship is. Because I hear people say it all the time. They're like, "Oh, I'm sick of looking at this person," you know, because they're always together. And I think COVID showed a lot of people they didn't really love each other, because
There's a
they
lot of
loved each other
divorces.
with the right amount of space. They loved each other with the right amount of space, and then COVID removed the space, and then they realized, I don't like this person, right? And so many people broke up during COVID. Right, so we're gonna wrap up, and tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, actually, this is it for this
This
week.
is the
And we're gonna
fix.
come back Sunday for before the 90 days, and then we're gonna come back Monday for, we're gonna get this right,
The
the other
other
way,
way.
and Love a Mama's Boy, and we're gonna talk about that. And oh, Shabuti launched the podcast, the one we did with Lauren from Before the 90 Days. It's live. So if you guys wanted to listen to it was on Twitter Space, but you couldn't listen without a Twitter account. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that one from last week, it's live. It went viral. A lot of people think it's one of the best podcasts in a while. So if y'all want to go look at
I
that, the link is
have
on
to listen to that.
screen. Oh, you're going to love
I
it. It was
know.
so good.
I couldn't stop laughing last week,
It's
so.
amazing. So go check that out and make sure you're following my co-host Gina. She's tagging this video. Hopefully we'll be getting Car back when she feels better. And make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. All the links are in my bio. Everyone have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye,
Bye.
guys. Bye.